Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm fairly certain that all, if not most of us, are familiar with the idea of masks. Masks. Now, I'm not referring to surgical masks that became all too familiar during COVID, nor am I don't know if you can say during COVID, because it's still during COVID, isn't it? Well, anyway. Now, I'm not referring to those surgical masks. I'm not referring to masks worn on Halloween. And I'm certainly not referring to masks worn by criminals as they do their dastardly deeds. The masks I'm talking about are far more figurative. They are the ways we hide our true selves. Behind these masks, what you see is what you want. I want you to see. And while masks show what I want you to see, they also hide what I don't want you to see. They prevent others from fully knowing who we are. I understand such hiding. I really do. In this world, in this day and age, I mean, trust is a tricky thing and a risky proposition that cannot be granted to everyone. But such hiding where God is concerned is not any kind of a virtue at all. You won't find any such hiding in the book of Psalms. Nothing else. A reading of the Psalms is a roller coaster of openness and honesty, from deep praise of God's mighty acts to gut-wrenching agony. It's all in there. No masks, no hiding. Just children of God speaking their deepest fears and anxieties, and at the same time falling back upon the deepest faith they possess. Psalm 139 is one of those priceless psalms. O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar away and are acquainted with all my days. It is a voice spoken in wonder and awe. The psalmist insists that before we know or name God, God knows and names us. What a fearful truth that God knows you from top to bottom, inside and out. God knows your innermost thoughts, your failings, your unspoken dreams. Nothing escapes the mind of God. It's a fearful truth. No matter how ornate, fearsome, or creative the mask we fashion for ourselves, God sees right through. As Calvin said of the song, it is risky to dismiss the deceptive coverings under which most men take refuge. I mean, let's face facts. Who among us really wants to be known through and through? That's why I call it a fearful truth. To be fully known is to be completely vulnerable. Such fear drove Adam and Eve to hide themselves from God. They had done something that God told them not to do. When God approached, they hid, but there really was no hiding. It is only in such raw vulnerability that we may have an authentic relationship to God. Anything less is simply justifying ourselves. Yet despite this hunger to hide, the writer sounds anything but fearful. Of the different kinds of psalms, songs of lament, wisdom, blessing and curse, thanksgiving, most time when the worth of human life is vastly cheapened, the psalmist affirms of God's supreme valuing of us. Life is sacred. We are the work of God's hands. No identity crisis there. While in Tegel prison, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a poem entitled "Who Am I?" shortly before his execution at the hands of the Nazis. He ends the poem by asking, "Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine." God knows you, but God is the one you can trust above all else. Speaking of being known, we have Nathanael. Nathanael goes rather reluctantly with Philip to see this Jesus. I can imagine Philip giddy with excitement. He had just been called by the Son of God. "Come and see the one that was written about in the law and the prophets." Nathanael is not easily persuaded. "Where did he come from? Who is this person? How do you know that he's the one we've been waiting for?" And Philip, bubbling over with glee, says, "Oh, it's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And that about does Nathanael in. "I know Nazareth," he replied, "and nothing good ever comes out of Nazareth." You get the feeling that Nathanael might not be investing too much in this wait-and-see proposition. Surely, nothing life-changing could come from a place such as Nazareth. No one of any consequence would have a common name like Jesus, and yet Nathanael goes. We don't know what happened when Nathanael first saw Jesus. Was it enough to look straight into the face of divine love? Though it was Jesus, not Nathanael, who speaks the first words. "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Where did you get to know me?" Well, we too are standing with Nathanael, holding tightly to our hopes and dreams, and yet for some reason hoping against hope that this Jesus, this child of Joseph, knows us too. Knows us for who we truly are. Knows us for all our disillusionment and cynicism. Knows us for our fears and our deceit. Pain and remorse, the love, the joy, all of it, everything that is within us that makes us human. It is the good news we hear from the words of Scripture. Somehow, Jesus sees us. Sees everything we are, everything we could be, everything we dream to be and yet fall short. He knows us even before a word leaves our tongues. At this time, we've been running around following the latest fad, listening to the newest expert, certain that all of our efforts will pay off and we may somehow fool others. And then, when we finally lift our gaze and we look into the eyes of the divine love, we discover that God knows us already, and despite everything that churns inside, God has pronounced his love for us. And so we can join the psalmists from ages ago, praying, "Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is so high that I cannot."